Thanks for listening to FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM. This is The Federal Drive with Tom Temin. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom this week. You can find plenty to debate in the Trump administration's budget proposal for 2018. At the top of the list is that 10% increase in defense spending. Todd Harrison is the Director of Defense Budget Analysis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He talked with Tom Temin about what little we do know about where those additional billions would go.
I guess maybe it's useful to look at the budget proposal for 2018 and that $600 and whatever billion it is in context with the supplemental request for 2017, because they seem to be almost complementary.
That's right. And that's probably the bigger news, actually, the supplemental request for 2017, because the administration had already previewed what was going to be in the 2018 budget request. And all they actually released was a top line number of $603 billion for the total national defense budget. So that includes nuclear funding and Department of Energy and a few other agencies that do defense-related work, plus an additional $65 billion in overseas contingency operations funding. But there's no detail on how they're going to spend the 2018 money. We'll have to wait until the full budget request comes out, probably sometime in late May, before we get those details. But what we did get is in the 2017 supplemental request, it's a total of $30 billion they're asking for defense. And they gave us a lot of detail and where that money would go. So I think, you know, that is really the more interesting thing that's come out this week.
And of that $30 billion, only $5 billion, I guess, was for the OCO, which means they're really looking to boost defense spending right now in the base. And I guess you have to appreciate their honesty in putting it there instead of the OCO.
Yes, I mean that's that was one of the surprises in the request is that $5 billion in OCO funding and $25 billion in the base budget. The reason it's a surprise is that means you have to change the budget caps for the base defense budget. If you put it in OCO, it doesn't count towards your budget caps. But when you put it in the base budget, it does count. And the base budget is already capped for 2017 at $551 billion. And so they want to add another $25 billion on top of that. So what that means is that Congress has to change the budget cap levels. To change the budget caps, though, you can't do that with a simple majority. You actually have to get 60 votes in the Senate. So this is going to make it more difficult to get it through Congress.
What do you think John McCain might react to this? I know that he has said that the 2018 request is still way below what he would like to see, even though it's above what the Obama administration was asking for earlier. But on this year's piece, the 2017 supplemental, what do you think a McCain would do there?
Yeah, I mean, I think initial reactions are that the defense hawks like McCain and Thornberry in Congress are pretty happy with the supplemental request for 2017. You know, looking at the total dollar amount, that is about what they were pushing for. I mean, I'm sure they would have always been happy with even more. But $30 billion is about as much as anyone expected to get in an FY17 supplemental. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not really up to the defense hawks in Congress. You know, to get 60 votes in the Senate, they got to keep all 52 Republicans, and there are some fiscal hawks within that crowd that aren't entirely pleased with this proposal. And they got to bring on 8 Democrats to get the 60 votes. The other complicating factor in all of this is something we haven't brought up yet. It's what's going on the non-defense side of the budget. So for the FY17 supplemental request, while they're asking for, you know, another $25 billion in base budget funding for defense and $5 billion in OCO, it also calls for $18 billion in cuts to the non-defense side of the budget, and then $3 billion in new funding to fund the border wall and implementation of other executive orders. Those are pretty controversial positions for the Trump administration, and so I think that actually makes it less likely that this proposal will make it through Congress intact.
We're speaking with Todd Harrison, Director of Defense Budget Analysis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I guess the one thing we don't have anymore are really two things. One is earmarks to kind of horse trade over, and the other is people like Scoop Jackson.
Yeah, and you know, we know how these budget deals have worked for the past 5 years since we've had the Budget Control Act. Budget deals have worked the same way every time. For every dollar increase in defense, there's been a dollar increase in non-defense. So there's been this parity between defense and non-defense. Now, that was possible because you had, you know, a Democrat in the White House, and even though Republicans have majorities in both chambers of Congress, you know, they still had to get past the president's veto pen. You know, I think a lot of people who were, you know, defense hawks were optimistic that they could break that parity principle now that they've got a Republican in the White House, but they have slimmer majorities in the House and the Senate. And you still got the 60-vote threshold in the Senate. So Democrats still have quite a bit of power here. And, you know, if I had to bet at this point in the game, I would bet that the budget deal we end up with for 2017 is probably going to look more like what we've had in the past. It'll be some increase for defense, probably smaller than is being proposed right now, and probably some increase in non-defense. I think that's the only way they're going to get this through.
Looking at the 2017 supplemental as it came out, what does it buy, and what does it say their priorities are for defense this year?
Yeah, so, you know, if you look at the details of it, about half of the supplemental request is going to procurement. So buying lots of new equipment, more fighter jets, more munitions, basically trying to, you know, purchase a lot of things that were on the services wish list from this past year, things that didn't make it into the original budget request, because there just wasn't enough funding available. And these are things that, quite frankly, Congress was already chomping at the bit to fund. So, you know, not a lot of surprises in there. But the other additions that we see in the budget, about $7 billion in additional base budget funding going into operation and maintenance, and about $1 billion going into military personnel accounts. And that's to basically help restore some of the readiness that's been degraded over the past few years, and bring force levels up to a higher level, especially for the Army in strength. They're going to be adding several thousand more troops than had previously been planned in the budget. I think they're adding about 15, 16,000 above what was previously planned. The Air Force is bringing their in strength back up. So is the Navy. So is the Marine Corps. So a lot of it is kind of bringing those force levels back up to where the services wanted to be, but, you know, were constrained by the previous budget level.
Now, when you bring those people back, it does have a long life cycle cost tail to it. Because
it does. And so that's one of the things I've tried to warn people about in this, you know, buildup of the budget is be careful how you grow, especially if you don't have a long-term budget deal and you can't be assured of, you know, you're going to have continued growth in future years. You should think carefully about adding force structure and increasing in strength right now, because that just means you're going to have more mouths to feed in the future. And if you're already starving unit, adding more is just going to mean more starving mouths in the future.
It's almost the parallel of states that have this big Medicaid overhang becomes a bigger and bigger portion of their budgets that they're obligated to pay, and there's less for what they'd like to have currently.
And it effectively, you know, in the military, adding force structure may help in the near term, but it ties your hands in the long run. And so it can ultimately mean that you don't have as much money or as much flexibility to invest in future capabilities. And so, you know, the types of capabilities you might need 5 or 10 years from now, you may not be able to afford because of the force structure you're adding today.
Todd Harrison is Director of Defense Budget Analysis and Senior Fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. You can find a link to more of his thinking and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Still to come on Federal News Radio, for contractors, it's not too early to start thinking about the fourth quarter of the 2017 fiscal year. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, in for Tom this week.